This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Monday Meditation. It's good to be here with you. If you're new to meditation, hope to give some clear guidance as to how we can go about meditating. And of course, I do assume that it's something we can do. It's something that can be taught clearly and learned and practiced. And so we'll use our ability to focus our attention, to decide where we will place attention. And we will do it in a really simple way. We will focus on that our very boring. I'm trying to raise my volume here while I pretend like I'm not. Where was I? We can meditate. It's something we can do. And if you're new to meditation, I know there are plenty of people here today who are wishing you well, who have learned that meditation practice is something we can do, and it's nice to practice together. So we'll use our ability to decide where to place attention, and we'll place attention with very ordinary aspects of experience, sensations of sound, sensations in our bodies. The reason we do this is very straightforward. There's something about taking time in this way where we're focusing our attention on something relatively neutral, something real in our experience, but relatively neutral. And in doing this, we create conditions for more clarity, calmness, stability, and so forth in our minds. It's very interesting that this works. It can work. And this is most forms of meditation begin this way, one way or another, not all, but even though the objects of consciousness that are focused on may vary. And then in getting going, we don't have to clear our minds or get rid of thoughts. You know, we can have plenty of thoughts running in the background even as we do this. There will be times where the thoughts pull our attention. And indeed, even though we were trying real hard to stay with the breath, we'll realize that we've been drawn into mulling something over, planning something, worrying, perfectly normal. And in mindfulness practice, when we realize that has happened, we don't declare ourselves a complete failure. We may have that thought, but we ignore that thought too. We include whatever is happening as part of our experience. That recognition, thinking, planning, and so forth, and then come back to the simpler elements of experience, the sensations of the breath, and so forth. There is a way of using thoughts in the meditation, and this is a tool that I've practiced quite a lot because of a Burmese Buddhist monk with whom I practiced a lot. He liked to use noting as a complement, as a tool. So I thought I would mention that this morning. When we're noticing sounds, we might have a quiet whisper of a thought, hearing. Or when we're noticing the breath, if we're noticing in the abdomen or the chest, and if you're new, kind of ignore this for now. This is a little bit of a tool that isn't so relevant in getting started. But when we're noticing the breath, we might be focusing on the rising and the falling of the abdomen or the chest with the in breath, the out breath. So we can use a thought like rising, just as the in breath begins, as the abdomen begins to rise a little bit with the in breath. A quiet whisper of a thought falling, just as the abdomen or the chest begins to fall. Or if we're observing the breath at the opening of the nose, a quiet whisper in, just as we notice the in breath begin. Quiet whisper out, just as we notice the out breath begin. And this is just a tool. If we are trying it out and it begins to feel like it's more work than necessary, it probably is more work than necessary. And it can be great just to drop it. If it feels like you're kind of adding a sort of extra level of effort that isn't really helping, then let it go. Don't, it's just a tool. It's like scaffolding around a building. If you're painting painting a three-story house and you need some scaffolding, but you don't need this scaffolding all the time. And then when we notice the attention has drifted, we also can use a quiet whisper of a thought just to recognize what has pulled our attention away. Thinking, the actual thought, thinking or planning, worrying. Likewise with emotions, anxiety, fear, excitement, joy. So these, we can use thoughts as a kind of a helping us stay attuned to what we're doing. And I'll talk about this a little bit more at the end today. So let's begin. Eyes can be open or closed, either way. We might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Maybe even a little sigh with that out breath. So just slightly deeper breaths, just one way to begin. Letting your breath be normal. We'll come back to the normal breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds that you can hear. Notice how easy this is. In that we don't endeavor to hear everything going on. We don't try to keep track. We don't have to predict. Just whatever is happening moment after moment, noticing some of the sounds that are present. So you can stay with sounds or come back to sounds whenever you wish. It's also good to practice with our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body, noticing what there is to notice, kind of that same spirit when we open to sounds where we're not, really controlling anything as to what's happening. Same with our bodies now, just head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. It's the feel of your body right now. Just noticing vibration, pressure, softness, and so forth. So we feel into our bodies. It can be natural to notice sensations connected with the normal breath. So just breathing normally, not the way we began with the deeper breath, just the normal breath that's been taking place all day, all night, all day before, same. There are sensations that can be noticed typically. As the in-breath begins, slight rising, tensing of the abdomen, the chest. With the out-breath, a sort of falling, softening, dissolving. The opening of the nose. Flow of fine sensations as air comes in, as air leaves. So this is quite doable. We don't have to figure out how to get something out of the sensations. That's not part of this at all. It's an activity of our minds, of attention, just noticing something relatively neutral. So we don't have to kind of change the breath in any way. Just let the breath take place, noticing how we know that the in-breath is beginning. Don't try to feel everything. So maybe let the attention settle in the abdomen, the chest, or at the opening of the nose. So it does take effort, but it's mostly showing up, being patient, and not rushing, just letting this breath be the focus of attention. So patience is something we muster in doing this, but we can do that. You may find it useful to label, to use thoughts. So that quiet, very quiet thought in the back of your mind, rising or in, just as you notice the in-breath begin. Quiet thought falling or out, just as the out-breath begins. When you notice the attention is pulled away, quiet whisper hearing, if it's a sound that pulls your attention, or if it's pain somewhere in your body that pulls your attention, just a quiet whisper, pain. Or if it's a thought, often it will be a thought. Just thinking, just labeling, these are thoughts, thinking. We don't have to fight the thoughts or squelch them, but we can practice just letting them be, kind of go by and let our attention come back to the next in-breath as it begins. So as I was saying, if the labeling feels onerous, unnecessary, it is. So it's just a tool that can be useful at times when we can learn how to use it. So we'll talk about that more. For now, just letting it be simple. And I'll be silent for a bit as we practice together. So we'll take a couple more minutes for the meditation together. During these 2 minutes, I would invite you, if you wish, to do a little exercise. Wouldn't necessarily be part of a normal meditation session, but just for fun, would invite you to think of something you may not be able to. So we'll set that in advance. Think of something that good that has happened for you recently. And do find it amusing if you can't think of anything. That is not unusual, really. But see what comes to mind. Anything, anything. An achievement, some good luck, some pleasure. Someone told a good joke which you enjoyed. Anything very small. You may not be in that great a shape in some ways, but maybe there's improvement. So if you think of something, don't rush, don't try too hard. But if you think of something, just notice thinking and liking. You actually use those thoughts, thinking, liking, as you hold this experience or pleasure in mind or memory. Maybe something that's happening right now that feels good. So that thinking, that recognition, and then liking, just noticing the pleasure in it, the satisfaction, liking. Sometimes when we turn our attention in this way, all we notice is things we don't like. So if that's happening for you, just that recognition, disliking, thinking, disliking. Whatever's going on, kind of a frame of playfulness here. We'll just take another 30 seconds, then talk about it a bit. So thank you. Thank you for your practice. It's good to practice with you. The basics of mindfulness are radically simple and doable. The challenge for most people is taking the time to do it and then allowing it to be as simple as it is. The element I introduced at the beginning today, the using thoughts to kind of provide a little bit of structure that can help us stay in the game. Can be quite useful from time to time. And so it's something that you may want to experiment with. And then what we did there at the end, over the past 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, we've talked about mudita, the practice of sharing joy, where we think of someone else and something good that's happened for them, or we think, is there anyone I know for whom something good has happened, or someone I know about, and so forth. And a very sensible question came up a week or two ago about, well, what if we think about something that is good that's happened for me, for myself? And we normally wouldn't practice mudita in that way with ourselves. So with others, we think of the good thing and we wish them even more. There's something a little too self-centered, I feel, about the Blue Jays, my goodness, about like just sitting there wishing ourselves more good fortune. There's nothing wrong with it, and we can be playful here, but a more direct way of integrating that recognition that we like what's happening is just that labeling, liking, just noticing that sense of pleasure or satisfaction or relief or whatever it is in a very simple way with the thought liking, liking. And this can be part of a basic mindfulness practice where we're noticing the breath. A thought comes to mind, we feel some joy or satisfaction in what comes to mind. So we notice that we're thinking and we notice that we like it without a lot of other analysis, just thinking, liking. We can do the same when things come to mind that we do not like, thinking, disliking. And we can do this when someone comes to mind whom we find disgusting. We can label it disgusting, but we also can label it disliking in a way that even in that labeling kind of can diffuse our own energy around something that we don't necessarily want to perpetuate in our minds. And so this is a tool that can be useful. Both noticing liking and disliking is a way of noticing basic human reality, right? Pleasure and pain. And of course, one part of mindfulness practice is being real about what our lives are like. And of course, I won't go into it today, but working with physical pain, working with difficult emotions is also very central in mindfulness practice. And it sometimes can be very, useful to kind of work when we're working with difficult emotions. We recognize the emotion we feel in our bodies, but sometimes it can be useful just to give it a quiet whisper, disliking, and move on, right? Disliking, move on. The flip side is it also can be great to notice the pleasure. It for some of us is like this might be a surprise, but it also might be like something we really need to do and would find valuable in doing, just like appreciating the goodness in our own lives, even at a very basic level. So it's very similar to the practice of thinking of others and their goodness, the good things that are happening to them, the sharing joy or the goodness of them, as we do in a kindness practice. This can be something that, for instance, that comes into our daily lives quite naturally. I don't know if you know this, those of you who've been around for a while, I'm not a huge fan of trying to be mindful all the time, right? When we get serious about mindfulness, there can be that tendency to like, my God, this is so important. Now I should be mindful all the time. And I don't know. We already have a lot to do, right? And so yes, meditate, take some time to practice for sure. That's number one in the way I see things. And then find some activities of your daily life where it kind of makes sense to maybe practice mindfulness with eating or when you take walks or find some ways, but kind of resist that enthusiasm around I'm going to be mindful all the time, because that can create unnecessary pressure. And we're not going to change our habits by trying too hard to overdo it, right? But we can bring it in. And so with eating meditation, for example, or eating mindfully, that can be something that some of you might want to do, maybe even just for a few bites, beginning breakfast, right? Just for the first 15 or 30 seconds. And noticing the pleasure there can be quite interesting with just like, okay, or coffee, more importantly than breakfast, just the coffee, that first sip of coffee. Liking, liking. That's not my first sip, by the way, to say the least. Savor, it's like we don't want, as I said, it's really weird. I love meditation. I love mindfulness, of course, but I don't like it being turned into a job of some sort. I definitely am a fan of working at it. And of course, I'll encourage any of you to do intensive retreats and kind of take a weekend or a week or more where that's all you're doing, but at the right time, right? And so the idea is like with this idea, like savoring a cup of coffee, just do it a little bit. Just a little. Don't like turn your enjoyment of your cup of coffee into like some damn job of savoring. No, just keep in mind that we can bring attention to pleasure also. And just kind of with a light touch, just notice liking. It's quite interesting. It may be more important for many of us that even than the kind of the complementary working with difficulties, because food is an example where we all need food, we eat food, we mostly enjoy it, but of course it can be a source of pain for people too. But insofar as we enjoy it, there's stuff, very interesting stuff going on typically, right? We're kind of going for the next bite very quickly, right? And there's evolutionary reasons probably for that, right? Once you got your food, you just need to gobble it up real quick because there may be a bear in the neighborhood who's going to come and s hear you chewing and then come and steal the rest of your, or maybe your siblings. I don't know the story there. There may be so, but it is kind of normal, right? To kind of just eat, we maybe spend an hour preparing an amazing meal. And then we hardly pay attention to what the experience is like eating it. So don't turn this into a job of savoring, but we can bring that awareness of pleasure into our meditation practice and into our daily lives. And one way to do it is to kind of use that tool of just noticing, liking, kind of a light touch, liking, just as we can also bring disliking into our practice and into our daily lives also. So we'll continue on this theme next time. Good to see you all. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.